buried somewhere either. Some mythology has just got to be that. Mythology. Can you imagine, though, a dozen of these things walking around all lit up in turquoise? Then again, maybe they glow in different colors. They didn't even have iron tools back then, let alone electricity. I wish I could go back in time just to see that for myself. One of these things is jaw-dropping today. 12 of them at a time when technology was more or less non-existent? That would have been like coming face-to-face with gods. I'd like to know why this one was left on Earth while all the other ones went back to wherever they came from.
What makes you think they went anywhere?
We pretty much searched the entire planet, and we only found parts of this one. If there were 11 more spread around, surely we'd have a couple spare parts, extra hands, another foot lying in a warehouse somewhere. Are you going to tell me what you know, or do I have to guess everything?
I may not know anything.
Of course not. You just stumbled upon the words Tita and Demis while doing crosswords, and you called me for clues so you could finish the grid. What's the 7-letter word for full of it?
Caution.
At some point, you're gonna have to trust someone. If anything, you could get hit by a milk truck tomorrow, and there'd be no one left who knows any of whatever it is you keep to yourself.
You do realize I am essentially a spectator in all of this. I do not come from outer space. I did not build a giant robot. I did not even play any significant part in finding it or understanding how it works. You can therefore assume that 100% of the knowledge that I possess was handed to me by other people. If anything were to happen to me, there would be someone left who knows what I know. A lot of someones. I trust that in the event of my demise, the right information would find its way to the people who need it, as it found its way to me.
Sure, but why not save us all a lot of time and tell us so we can, you know, help a little?
You are helping tremendously. And part of the reason you are able to contribute so significantly to this project is that you are not burdened by unnecessary knowledge. Some of it might help you, I agree, but some of it would also narrow your options. Steer your thoughts in one particular direction. Prevent you from seeing all there is to see. Since I cannot know which information would hinder your thought processes, I find it best to provide you only with what you really need to know.
Really? All this time I thought you were just the biggest micromanager the Earth had ever known. I never realized you were doing all of this for me. How can I ever thank you enough?
You should leave the sarcasm to Ms. Resnick. She is infinitely better at it than you are. Are you ready to go back to work?
What work? I've done two things so far. Decipher some alien symbols on panels I accidentally dematerialized, and learn to pilot a robot you sent to the bottom of the ocean. As far as I can tell, there's nothing left for me to do.
That was not my question. I was asking whether you felt ready or not.
To do what?
Anything. I am asking whether you feel ready to do anything.
I don't understand.
Unless there are aspects of your life I was not made aware of, all you have accomplished in the last 5 months is to grow a beard and build models of World War II naval ships. While those ships are admittedly highly detailed and do testify to your patience and dexterity, they offer little in the way of reassuring anyone about your mental stability.
I don't know what to say. I'm stable, mentally, and I can do things that you won't tell me about.
What is the current state of your relationship with Ms. Resnick?
I haven't spoken to her in quite some time.
Precisely. How can you pretend to be strong enough to resume work if you cannot even pick up the phone and call a woman you obviously care for very deeply?
I wanted to wait until I was sure.
Sure of what?
I'm almost there. I will call her soon, I promise. I wanted to wait until I was sure. Until I was sure I'd never fall again. I don't know how else to explain it. I wake up every morning hearing Rose screaming for me to stop. People keep telling me that it'll pass, that there'll come a day when I don't have to watch her die over and over again in my dreams. I don't think that day will come, but I've learned to live with it. I mean, of course, I wish I could only remember the good parts. She gave me her trust, her friendship, and she opened the doors to a world I would never have dreamed of. I'll be in her debt until it's my turn to die. I wish I could only see that, but I can't. So if waking up screaming every morning is part of remembering her, I'm fine with that. I can't bring her back. It's too late for me to listen to her, and I can't promise I'll always do what anyone else asks me to do, but I swear to you, I swear on my life, I will never fall again. I will never let anything happen to someone I love because I wasn't strong enough, starting with Kara. That's why I'm waiting to call her.
I do not question your resolve. I never have. But you cannot guarantee that your knees will not simply give again, as they did the last time.
I climb stairs.
What?
I climb stairs with my knees in reverse.
Perhaps there are aspects of your life I was not made aware of. Please go on.
At night, in my apartment building, I set my alarm for 2 a.m., and I go up and down the back stairs. I go up 4 floors, then down, then up again, until I can't move anymore.
How often do you do that?
Every night since I came back here. My legs are too tired to work out during the day, so I drink protein shakes and work on my concentration. I build model ships while I do multiples in my head using alien math. It's a bit unorthodox, I know, and I'm sorry if it's not up to everyone's standards, but it's the closest thing I could find to working the console. So I don't know what you're really asking me to do, but if you're thinking of getting the band back together, I'm ready. I'm 10 times more ready than I was the last time I set foot in the sphere.
Getting the band back together might not be that easy.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you, it's just what you said. It's a quote from Jake in that movie, The Blues Brothers.
I was citing you from a moment ago.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
And that line is from Elwood, not Jake. Congratulations.
What did I do?
You have convinced me that you are fit for duty. All you need to do now is to convince Ms. Resnick.
File number 239. Interview with Alyssa Papantoniou, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Science Officer, BVI Company number 462753, Incorporated. Location, undisclosed location, near San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Alas, Ms. Papantoniou, we meet again.
Yes. It must be hard for you.
Why would you say that? I was sorry to see you go.
You had me deported.
Yes. I meant afterward. I had underestimated your contribution to the team. I believe you lack the social skills and empathy that are necessary to lead people, but I realize that you are a uniquely talented individual, and that we can greatly benefit from your presence.
And now the board has chosen me. I'm in charge this time.
Indeed they have. You must have made quite an impression with the Russian government. I am curious, however, as to what you really offered them, since you knew nothing of this facility. You must have convinced them that you could find a way to activate the controls for their pilots. Were they able to retrieve the pieces from the bottom of the trench on their own? I am fairly certain the United States would not look kindly on your proposal to the Russians.
I don't think they would look kindly on your setting up this consortium, either.
Exactly. As you can see, we have a lot in common. We are both deeply committed to this project, enough so that we must often choose between what is ethical, honorable, and what is important. I hope this shared commitment can serve as the foundation of our renewed relationship. I hope we can have a fresh start.
They dragged me out of my home. Like a criminal.
They thought you were. But as I said, water under the bridge. You do realize we have to find a way to work together. I am honestly willing to try, if you are.
I've always been professional. You're the one who made things
personal. I would describe my actions as decisive. I thought that was a quality you admired in others. Believe me, when I make things personal, it will leave no room for interpretation. So, shall we begin? How is the construction progressing? I will not leave before you talk to me. If you care for this project as much as you claim to, you will not let a temporary relocation get in the way of its success.
We're ahead of schedule by almost a month. Construction of the lab is almost complete. And we're laying track much faster than we thought possible. You should get the pilots here now.
It was my understanding that you would not be ready for training until Christmas. Even with the good news you just presented me with, I fail to see what the pilots could possibly do here now.
Nothing. They'd have nothing to do. They could go to the beach, have a few drinks, have some fun. Let the resentment dissipate slowly for a few weeks.
Do you believe they resent me for ending the program?
No, I don't think so. But they'll certainly resent me. They'll be useless to me for at least a month. They didn't like me before, but they'll hate me now.
This line of thinking seems somewhat irrational to me. You have spent only a short time with them. They do not know you well enough to hate you.
Irrational's the right word. They won't know why, but they'll resent me for not being her. They'll resent me just for being alive.
Dr. Franklin?
Yes, they probably won't realize it, but the thought of anyone but her, being in charge will make their stomachs turn. They'll hate me for not being exactly like her, and they'll hate me when I remind them of her. They'll hate me for making them relive her death over and over. Trust me. They'll hate me. So I'm asking you to get them here now. Give them a chance to get over it. I can't do my job if they want me dead, even if it is subconsciously.
I will see what can be done. They might need some time to work out their own differences. Let us leave these psychological concerns aside for a moment and go back to the work you've accomplished. You said that construction of the lab was almost complete. Will it be as large as the room we used in Denver?
Almost. It's about 40 feet smaller lengthwise. The ground was more unstable toward the ocean than what the geological surveys had shown. Don't worry. There'll still be enough room for it to move around. But you wouldn't want the roof to collapse. It's a lot deeper than Denver. There'll be millions of tons of rock and water above our heads.
How many men do you have laying tracks?
Zero. I didn't like the security risk to begin with. People can't keep a secret. Divers could only have done the first few 100 feet anyway. Our German friends managed to build a train so it can lay its own track. It's more of a shaft, really. A good portion of the path is on a near-vertical slope, so the weight doesn't push on the track like a regular train. What we built looks like a steel I-beam with a series of holes in the middle. The train drive has geared wheels on both sides of the beam to move along the shaft. It's a nice piece of engineering. It goes to the end of the pass, lays a new section of the track, and comes back to get the next one. When we started, it would come back every couple hours or so. Now it's gone for almost a day at a time. It's really slow, but it's steady.
How will you collect the pieces once you reach the target area?
We have an unmanned submarine with a robotic arm. When we get to the bottom of the trench, we'll attach buoys to the pieces to reduce the weight, and we'll hoist them on the train platform with cables. Then we bring the pieces in one by one.
Is the train powerful enough to pull the pieces out of the trench?
No, it's not. With enough buoys, it could probably handle the smaller pieces on its own, the hands or the feet, but not the thighs or torso. When it's done laying track, we'll put a cable on the train and help it up. We have a winch the size of a four-story building. I know you're keeping things from me, and there's probably a good reason for that. But I'm assuming you wouldn't keep this to yourself. Why is it taking so long to find the propulsion system? You found the rest of the pieces in a relatively short period, and you must have covered most of the Earth's surface by now.
We have not found the propulsion system, as you call it, because we have not been searching for one. In fact, all search efforts were abandoned once we recovered the head. What makes you think there is such a thing?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot I don't know, but...
This is the second time you allude to the notion that crucial information is being withheld from you. I assure you, it's not.
It doesn't matter. I knew that when I signed on. Just let me finish. As I understand, this device, this robot, it was built by advanced beings from outer space in the hopes of defending our planet against some other aliens. Is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, are you certain it was designed for planetary defense?
That is my understanding.
Then how could there not be? This thing, the way you describe it, is extremely powerful, and I'm certain it could defend a neighborhood really well, perhaps a city, against just about anything. But what's it going to do if the enemy attacks in another country, let alone another continent? Is it just going to walk there? It's not like it can hail a cab. Without a propulsion system, its mobility would be so limited it would be completely useless. All the enemy would have to do is land more than a few miles away. By the time this thing gets there walking, it would already be over. This would be the stupidest planetary defense system ever. Not that I know of another one. If it can't cross an ocean.
That is a sound argument. One I am surprised no one, including myself, has made in the past. I will endeavor to resume our search efforts as soon as possible. However, as you pointed out, we have covered a significant percentage of all the continents except Antarctica. If such a propulsion system does exist, and we do not find it there, it would most likely be submerged. The surface we will need to cover is much larger than what we have searched to date. And we currently do not have a reliable underwater delivery mechanism for the compound Dr. Franklin developed.
We'll need to hire someone. I'm a geneticist, not a chemist or an engineer.
And neither was Dr. Franklin.
Well, maybe she was a bit of a Renaissance woman. But she's dead. Your pilots killed her. So we're gonna have to deal with that as best we can. Like I said, I'm a geneticist. I'm already managing steel workers and engineers, and I don't understand half of what they're saying. With the money we're spending building this place, I don't think one more salary will make much of a difference. If we need a chemist, we'll hire a chemist. If the engineers who thought this place up can't come up with a delivery system for that compound, we'll hire one more. Speaking of genetics, that's another reason I'd like to get the pilots here as soon as possible. If I'm gonna figure out what it is about these two that makes this machine tick, I'll need access to their bodies. I'll need samples.
I can have them send blood samples here by courier.
I might need a lot of samples. And not just blood. Please, just get them here as soon as possible.
They might object to a lot of physical probing.
It'll be real difficult for me to do my job if they don't cooperate. They're an uncontrollable variable in this equation. It makes the board real uneasy that a project this big is at the mercy of two people. You and I have already had this conversation. Let's not have it again. I'd like to get these tests started as fast as we can.
All I am asking is for you to make these tests as non-intrusive and painless as you can without sacrificing the results. As for the board of directors, you let me worry about them. Your job is to get us back on track as soon as possible. When we are fully operational, we can work on a contingency plan, should anything happen to either of our pilots. But for now, we have pilots. You should focus on what we do not have. And as of this moment, we do not have a robot. Nor do we have a viable work environment to continue training.
I understand. But I can't just ignore the board of directors. They're the ones who named me CEO. I understand your implication in this project, but there is an administrative structure in place here, and as far as I know, you're not a part of it. I have all the respect in the world for what you did for this project, but my obligation is to the board.
I admire your loyalty and your desire to fulfill your duties as CEO as best you can.
Thank you.
If I may offer a suggestion, it would be wise for a woman in your position to take some time to get a better understanding of your surroundings, perhaps to revisit some assumptions you may have made early on. Understanding the true nature of the power structure in such a complex enterprise is not something one can achieve instantly.
Thank you for your concern. It's very nice of you.
File number 249. Interview with Vincent Couture. Consultant. BVI Company Number 462753, Incorporated. Location. Undisclosed location, near San Juan, Puerto Rico.
I hope you are enjoying yourself in this new setting.
How could I not? I live on the beach. I don't know where you're from, but for someone who's lived in Quebec all his life, this is pretty awesome.
I am happy that the beach house is to your liking. I was actually referring to this facility.
I've only been here twice. I met with Alyssa. Did you know they brought her back? the day I arrived, and I met her again when I came in for a physical a few days later.
You have been here for nearly 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. What have you been doing with your time if you do not spend it here?
I'm learning to surf. Well, I'm trying to learn to surf. I'm horrible at it, but it's so much fun. I know I can't, but I keep thinking it might be a lot easier with my knees flicked.
You should come.
I'm easy to spot. I'm the glowing white guy with really bad sunburns.
Is it really necessary for me to state that I do not surf? Can we talk about work?
Sure.
What do you think of the new base?
I'm sure you know a lot more about this place than I do. Like I said, I've only been here twice. I thought our room in Denver was impressive, but this thing is completely insane. Do you know we're almost a mile deep underground? The door behind us leads to a large room roughly the size of the one we trained in back in Denver. There are also half a dozen laboratories on this floor and a huge bay, I mean gigantic, that leads into the Atlantic. I've only been on this floor, though. I don't know what else there is.
There is only one floor. There is also a 20,000-square-foot machine shop, medical facilities, crew quarters, and a power plant.
Can I ask a stupid question?
No, you cannot.
Then can I ask a really smart question?
As you wish.
How do we get the robot out of here? The only door I've seen that might be large enough leads straight into the ocean.
Once assembled, the device cannot leave this facility on the ground. She must be disassembled and hoisted to the surface near the shore. There, we can load the pieces onto cargo ships. She does, however, fit into the sea lock chamber, so, in theory, she could simply walk her way out of the ocean along the more moderate slopes of the coastline.
You think she can work underwater? That'd be cool.
We do not know. I certainly intend to find out. And, yes, it would.
Who runs this place? Is this an American base?
Not quite. These facilities belong to a consortium of four nations. Japan, Russia, South Korea, and the United Arab Emirates, as well as four corporations. Two from Germany, one from the United States, and one from Japan.
That seems like a completely random list of countries. Did you pick the names out of a hat?
Russia had to be involved in some manner. The situation was simply too volatile after two of their officers were shot during one of our missions.
We shot two Russian officers?
We did not shoot anyone. Tuvan peasants did. It is a long story. Suffice it to say that any attempt by the United States to keep the robot would have had catastrophic consequences. I had to offer Moscow some assurances. Unfortunately, they do not have the financial resources necessary to fund a project of this magnitude. The Emirates did. Japan was an acceptable partner for both of them, and South Korea is the most obvious client for our product. Our private partners bring specific technologies to the table.
Did you just say our product?
Our goal is to provide close-range defensive capabilities for member nations.
How about offensive capabilities?
No. It is part of our charter. It can only be used to defend against an enemy strike or invasion. Never as an offensive weapon, and never against another consortium member.
I'm sorry, I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. You can do that? Just grab the robot and say you own it?
It is open to interpretation. Ownership could perhaps be contested. We do, however, own over 7,000 patents on the technology. It would be legally perilous for anyone else to use it.
What do the private companies get out of it?
The cost of membership is significant. As more nations join our group, those who provided seed funding could enjoy a considerable return on their investment.
So we went from the greatest discovery in history for the betterment of all mankind, blah, 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 to a weapon for profit. Is that it?
I will concede that this situation is far from what I had envisioned, but it is one that allows us to continue our research and avoid a global conflict.
What's it called?
What is what called?
The Consortium. Oh, that'd be a good name, just that. The Consortium?
It does not have a name at this point. It is a numbered international business company incorporated in the British Virgin Islands.
How romantic. You didn't want to call it the Themis Consortium? It's got a good ring to it.
I have not shared information pertaining to her history or identity with anyone else at this time.
Why?
I have my reasons. However, I do admit that a numbered company is less than ideal from a motivational point of view. Perhaps you can suggest a good name for our group. I would like our personnel to feel a certain sense of belonging. Given the security restrictions and personal life limitations that come with working in our facility, strengthening morale will be of the essence.
Well, if you don't want to use Themis, she's a daughter of Gaia and Uranus. You're not dealing with teenagers, but I would still avoid having Uranus in the name. Gaia's not bad. The Gaia Consortium.
I will suggest it to the board of directors.
There's a board?
It is a corporation.
I guess so. Anyway, I'm not gonna complain. Buying this place must have cost a fortune. Who was here before us?
I do not understand.
I mean, what was this place before we came in? Was it a mine?
There was nothing here. We are below a national park. We had to excavate from the sea.
You're kidding. There is absolutely no way you can build something this size in just a few months. It would take years to dig this much, this deep.
It took approximately 2 years.
Did you just say 2 years?
Yes. We built this facility in less than 2 years. The costs were, unfortunately, inversely proportional to the speed.
That makes no sense. 2 years ago, we hadn't even put all the pieces together. We didn't even have a head.
I rarely do anything without planning for contingencies.
Aren't you a little worried about how the U.S. government's going to react to all this? They weren't on that list of countries you mentioned.
Indeed, they're not. They are, however, immune to any attack since one of our members is an American company.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be a great comfort to them. I must be missing something. The U.S. paid for all the research. We retrieved all the pieces with their army, and now you're giving it to Russia? I don't know about you, but I'd be a little ticked off.
You are correct in assuming there will be some fences to mend at some point.
Okay, then. Who am I to complain anyway? I'm from Canada. When do you think we'll be able to start training again?
If Ms. Papantonio is correct, we should have retrieved all the pieces within a month.
We're also missing a pilot. I thought Kara would be here by now.
She should be here soon. She may have been involved in an accident.
What happened? Is she okay?
Oh, she is fine. She may not have had the accident yet. You may have forgotten that she is U.S. Army personnel. Without direct involvement from the United States, I cannot simply ask the government for her services. There is nothing I am officially or unofficially involved with at this point that would require a helicopter pilot.
So?
So, sometime soon, if it has not happened already, she will be involved in a routine traffic accident. She will suffer a concussion, whiplash. Her physician will diagnose her with post-concussive syndrome and cervical radiculopathy and declare her unfit for duty. He will recommend that she be placed on medical leave for at least 6 months. When she arrives, you will have some fences of your own to mend. She was deeply hurt by your disappearing act. While I sincerely hope that your relationship can be restored to its former status, I will gladly settle for peaceful coexistence at this point. It is imperative that the two of you learn to work together again and communicate in the most efficient manner, just as you did in the past. Furthermore, you must learn to do this very quickly. Recent events have forced me to increase the number of players involved. There are now too many people with too much vested in this project to see it set back because of personal issues, even if it is only by a few days.
I don't think you need to worry about Kara. She may hate my guts now, but she'll do her job.
You are absolutely correct. Ms. Resnick is a professional, and she will perform her duties to the best of her abilities, despite whatever feelings she may have. It is you I am worried about.
I've never...
There is no need to be on the defensive. I have no doubts about your determination to perform your duties well, but you lack the military experience Ms. Resnick possesses. You have mentioned several times, and so has Ms. Resnick, that working in the sphere has a unique psychological effect on people. I am concerned that should one of you not find his or her feelings reciprocated, the sphere will quickly become a toxic environment. I do not believe you could cope with this much added stress and be efficient.
We'll be fine.
You need to be more than fine. You need to be in sync. Your minds need to work in unison.
Kara and I had absolutely no business being together in the first place. She has more issues than the New York Times, and I'm about as charming as a root canal, and yet we found each other. It took about, what, 20 minutes after I kissed her the first time for some yahoo to run me into a cement wall with a pickup truck. We stuck together through that. We destroyed an airport together, killed our best friend, and brought the world to the brink of World War III all in a day's work. Don't you see? The two of us ending up together is either the biggest cosmic joke ever, or it was somehow meant to be. The real funny thing is, I don't believe in fate. Like I said, Kara and I will be fine. If I were you, I'd be more worried about the next mess we're gonna make.
File number 250. Interview with CW4 Kara Resnick. United States Army. Location: undisclosed location, near San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Mr. Couture has been through a lot.
You think it's been a walk in the park for me? I was there too, remember? He abandoned me. Didn't call, didn't write. It's not like I have really high standards for relationships. If you need some time alone, fine. But if you're gonna just bail on me, at least let me know that you're okay. And, I don't know, maybe tell me if you're coming back or not. Is that too much to ask?
I am increasingly uncomfortable with the direction in which this conversation is heading.
Just tell me, am I being unreasonable?
A modicum of communication would seem like a sensible requisite.
Thank you.
Your sudden gratitude worries me deeply. Please do not take anything I have said to mean that I am taking your side.
What would you have done?
I will pretend you did not just ask me that. The truth is, neither you nor I can understand what went through the mind of Mr. Couture as he bears the better part of the responsibility for the death of Dr. Franklin.
That's a horrible thing to say. I'm just as responsible as he is for what happened.
That is very generous of you. However, both of us know it to be inaccurate. The hands that pressed the buttons that caused the energy burst belong to Mr. Couture, not to you.
That's not fair. The robot tripped.
Yes, the robot tripped while Mr. Couture was controlling the legs. Had Dr. Franklin been crushed under a giant thumb, I might point... blame the person who was controlling the hands. You should talk to him.
We talked.
I do not mean exchanging pleasantries. I mean talk. When I last visited him, I had serious doubts about his mental status, about his willingness to continue, and yes, about the nature of his feelings for you. I no longer have these doubts. While it may be difficult to understand, his prolonged absence and what he did during that time is a validation of his commitment to this project, and, to an even greater extent, of his devotion to you.
You said he played with toys.
That is not exactly what I said. I may also have been more affected by the accident than I wished to believe when I first visited Mr. Couture. Enough to miss certain things that, in retrospect, should have been obvious. I realize now that my rendition of the event may have compounded an already difficult situation, and I sincerely apologize for my short-sightedness.
You're right about one thing for sure. Whatever he did in Montreal, it sure as hell made him better up there in the sphere. We had our first trial this morning.
In the simulator?
No, the real thing. They retrieved the last part during the night. She was fully assembled and ready to roll by the time we woke up. I don't know if I like this private business thing, but we sure have more staff.
Has the water caused any damage?
The chamber was as dry as the day we left it. Anyway, we were a bit rusty at first, but after about a half hour, Vincent had us running in circles in the room. Running! Last time we strapped ourselves in, he could barely take a few steps. Now he's running. He's even able to work the console while walking. I just didn't think he had enough muscle left to do this.
It is amazing what someone can accomplish once they really set their heart to something. I am very interested in the fact that the sphere remained sealed after being subjected to such incredible pressure. I would like to know if we can operate the robot underwater.
Alyssa's one step ahead of you on this one. We're supposed to have a trial run in the sea lock room on Friday. If it works, we can put some distance between us and dry land and try a few things while submerged. She'd like us to find out how to focus the energy release. It's not a bad idea. If anything bad happens, we might kill some fish, but we won't vaporize anyone and destroy the base again.
She did not mention anything to me.
I'm not surprised. I don't like her. She's driven, I'll give her that, but there's something about her that just doesn't feel right. It didn't feel right in Denver. It doesn't feel right now.
She said you would not like her.
I didn't like her before.
She said you would not like her because she is not Dr. Franklin.
Oh, that explains it then. And here I was thinking it might have something to do with her.
Feelings aside, has she done anything to earn your disfavor?
Well, for one thing, she keeps sticking needles in me. The needles are getting bigger, too. I've been here 3 days, and I've been asked, told, to report to Medbay 4 times. She took some blood the day I came in and a few swabs. I guess those are for DNA.
She is a geneticist.
She's a bit of a mad scientist, if you ask me. The next morning, I was called back in for more blood samples. She had me spend a good half hour inside an MRI. I'm not claustrophobic, but I gotta say, I really don't like that machine. She treats me like a guinea pig. She doesn't explain anything, doesn't tell me what any of this is for. She probably thinks I'm too dumb to understand. After dinner, I was getting ready for a bath. It had been a really long day, and I wanted to go to bed early when I heard my name in the intercom. Kara Resnick, please report to Medbay 1. I get there, and she sticks an IV in my arm to get me ready for a CT scan. I'm still burning up from the iodine shot when she tells me she needs to do a spinal tap. Do you know how big the needle is for a spinal tap?
Did it hurt?
I don't know. I just ripped the IV out of my arm and went back to my room. I'm sure it would have hurt.
You said you were called into the medical bay 4 times. That makes 3.
Yep. I was asked to report to Medbay again this morning.
I will take the lack of details to mean that you did not comply. That may have been ill-advised. She might not take no for an answer.
She's just gonna have to learn to live with disappointment. I mean, what's she gonna do, drag me there?
I would not discount the possibility.
I'd like to see her try. Why does she need all this anyway? Dr. Franklin already determined there's nothing out of the ordinary in our DNA.
I do not know, precisely. She wants to understand why the helmets only activate for you and Mr. Couture, and to remove these limitations, if at all possible.
Oh, yeah, she's open about it. She wants to have a B-team. She says her first priority is to get the helmets to work for anyone. She's gonna have a hard time finding someone with legs like Vincent, but if she gets her way with the helmets, she might be able to replace me.
I do not believe she wants to replace you. But she is evidently uncomfortable having this entire project depend on the health or the will of a single person. I would be lying if I said I did not share the sentiment. It would be incredibly easy for anyone to remove the robot as a threat by simply having either of you killed.
I understand. I just hope it takes her a while to do it. I don't think she'll keep me around if she doesn't have to.
What makes you think she would prefer to see you go?
Oh, trust me. She'd love to get rid of me. If you fall in love with someone, there's a good chance the person won't love you back. Hatred, though, is usually mutual. If you despise someone, it's pretty much a given they're also not your biggest fan.
I did not realize you disliked her this much.
Maybe I'm exaggerating a bit. I don't really hate her. I just don't like her. A lot. I think she loathes me.
I wish I could be more helpful. Unfortunately, my relationship with her is not all it could be. She is a strong-willed woman, perhaps too assertive at times. Her determination is commendable, but she is somewhat defiant.
You mean she doesn't agree with everything you say? Now I'm beginning to like her.
I meant to say that I fear it will become increasingly more difficult for me to help you.
I'm just thankful she's stuck with me for the time being.
Speaking of thankfulness, I realize I may not have properly expressed my gratitude for what you did in Bosnia.
You don't need to. You were right. I didn't really notice it until I was on my way to the airport, but I didn't want to leave. The people there are so... they're so strong. And they're so vulnerable at the same time. Everything there just feels more...
real.
Yes. Thank you for sending me.
Thank you for finding Fata.
You're welcome. I won't forget her either. That poor woman. What she had to endure, it's... I can't find the words. It's inhuman. What kind of monster would do such a thing to another person?
War brings out the worst, and sometimes the best, in people.
Speaking of war, I'm worried about what we're doing here. We started this as a research project. I don't have a degree in physics or anything, but it felt somewhat like science. This is not. It's not a research project anymore, and I'm starting to feel like a soldier again. There's just too much money riding on this thing not to use it. At some point, we're gonna take her out. And we're gonna kill people. 100, 1,000, 10,000. It's hard to see it for what it is because it looks like a person, a woman, but what we have is a weapon. At least that's the way we're treating it. If we had found a bomb, a giant missile...
Would you be a part of this project if we had?
Maybe. Probably. Somehow it would be easier if I weren't the one driving this thing. I mean, there's no one else. Well, there's one other person. But they'll send us out there, and we won't have a choice but to kill whoever comes at us. You know they'll have absolutely no idea what they're up against. No clue that they don't stand a chance. I guess what I'm saying is, it's easier to be just one more soldier in a giant army than being the whole army by yourself.
It does not matter whether you are all alone or one in an army of thousands. You have a choice. You have always had a choice. You should be grateful to be in a position to make it when the stakes are so clear. They rarely are.
I'm not sure I understand.
You are in control of a formidable weapon, but one that is designed for close combat. This means that you will always see whomever you choose to kill. That is a clear choice. Destroying a bridge in a night incursion is a much harder decision to make. You just never took the time to think about it. Removing it could prevent enemy reinforcements from reaching the front line. That bridge could also be the only escape route for civilians. How many people will you save? How many will you send to their deaths? That is a complicated decision to make. Especially without all...
Is that your phone or mine?
Yours, I believe.
Then that must be yours.
Indeed it is. We seem to be popular at the moment.
What does yours say?
North Korea just sank a South Korean ship in the Yellow Sea. They are moving troops toward the DMZ. I believe you.
Yep. We're being deployed.
Part 5. Up in Arms. File number 251. Mission Log. CW4, Kara Resnick. United States Army. Location. Paju. Near the demilitarized zone. South Korea.
Can you hear me, Ms. Resnick? Please cough if you can hear me.
Cough? How about I just tell you? I hear you loud and clear. I muted my comms with Alyssa. She can't hear us.
Good. Where are you now?
We're in Paju. We're walking along the highway toward the border. We took a nice stroll in the river before that.
Is the South Korean army following you?
No. There are some troops behind us across the river, but they're not moving. This is our show now. Oh, except for that tiny jeep riding next to us on the highway. I think it's escorting us, silly as it sounds.
How are you feeling?
Stiff. I'm sore all over the place.
Has there been an incident I have not been made aware of?
No, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. Do you know how long it took for us to get here? 11 days. 11 days in a container ship, sleeping in that sorry excuse for a bunk they gave us. We really have to do something about transport, or we need to find really patient enemies. It did give Vincent and me a chance to talk, though.
Have you made any progress toward reconciliation?
Can we do this another time? I'm sort of in the middle of something. Where are you calling me from, anyway?
Beijing. I still have a few friends here. I tried to win you a few extra days.
I doubt you have any friends anywhere.
People who owe me favors are called friends. I asked them to stall Pyongyang for as long as they could.
Seems to have worked. You know, I never knew it was this pretty.
What is?
Here. I'd never been to Korea, let alone to the border. I always imagined the demilitarized zone as something, I don't know, rugged. Some half-plowed, mine-filled dirt field with crooked barbed wire all over the place. This looks like a national park. There's grass everywhere. It's insanely green. Everything is really pretty. Very well kept. I'm sure it would all explode if we walked over it, but still, pretty. Can you hold on for a minute? I have to report in. Yes, Alyssa, we're entering the DMZ. We're a little over a mile from the, what do they call it? The MDL. I can see a checkpoint from here. I'll go out on a limb and say they've seen us by now. No, nothing's happening. Yep, I'll let you know in a minute when we reach the border. Are you there? I can't keep turning my mic off. I can still hear you, but I won't be able to respond.
Very well. Just keep this channel open so I can hear you.
All right. Here goes nothing. Alyssa, I'm back. Yes, I was talking to Vincent. Things that don't concern you. I thought you'd like to know we're almost at the border. I can see troops about a mile away. I don't know. I see a lot of tanks. Maybe 200. I'm guessing that's a brigade. Lots of infantry. How am I supposed to know? They're in tents. I can tell you there are no more than 50,000 men here. They sure didn't bring everyone. If they're getting ready to march in, I don't think this is where it's happening. My guess is they're just showing off. You did ask for my opinion. You wanted to know how many troops there were. And since we're supposed to be here to stop an invasion, I thought the fact that there just aren't enough soldiers here to invade anything would be, you know, relevant. Sure. We can walk to the border. But they can see us just fine from where we are, if that's what you're worried about. We're going. We're going. Vincent, that's far enough. Okay, we're there. We're right at the fence. There are about 100 men, a couple of trucks, about 200 feet from us. No, Alyssa, no one's doing anything. They're just staring at us. I'm telling you, no one's shooting at us. Where? Oh, yeah, no, I see him. There's one guy about 1,000 feet to the side taking pot shots at us with an AK. What do you want me to do, yell at him? Hey, you down there, stop shooting at our feet! How's that? You're kidding, right? I'm not walking into North Korea because of some kid with a pea shooter. He's probably just scared shitless. We can't shoot back, Alyssa. We could squish him if he gets closer, but we can't reach him from over here. No, Alyssa, we're not under attack. I don't care how much you want to show off your new toy. There's no imminent threat here. Do you have bad reception over there? I said no. We're not going to pick a fight with 50,000 men and an armored division for the fun of it.
Do not cross that border. I do not care what Ms. Papantonio is telling you. Do not cross.
An order? Are you sure, Alyssa? It sounded more like a suggestion to me. Fire me, then. We were sent here to prevent something. Now we know it's not happening. We need to pack our bags and go home. Vincent, turn us around. We're out of here. Vincent.
You cannot cross that border. Do you hear me?
We're not crossing that border. Vincent, move. I'm not going to say... What was that? Yes, I hear you, Alyssa. I think we've been shot at for real this time. I don't know, an RPG, I think. Don't you have cameras up there? You tell me what hit us. I don't know where it came from. Close, I think. I just saw something in the corner of my eye. In the shoulder. No, we didn't feel an explosion, more like a hum. My suit tensed up for a second, but that's about... Wait. Incoming!
Ms. Resnick? What is happening? Ms. Resnick!
We've been hit. An anti-tank missile. It came from a launching vehicle on the west side. I felt that one. I don't think it did any damage, but my suit is giving me some sort of feedback. It felt like an electric shock. Vincent, did you feel that too? Yeah, Vincent felt the same thing. Vincent, we better turn on the shield. I don't know how many of these we can take before we discharge. Oh, and can someone tell that idiot in the Jeep to get the hell away from us? Of course, they're shooting at us, Alyssa. They have a 20-story alien robot on their doorstep. They have no idea what... There's another one. Incoming! Turn on the shield! Go! 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 To the left! Vincent, to the left! Got it! Did you guys see that?
I assume that is a rhetorical question. I am on the phone in China.
No, Alyssa, that was another missile. Probably an AT-5. I meant, did you see the light? I raised my arm just in time to catch it on the edge of the shield. It was weird. The shield went flat, and it turned bright, and I mean bright. We couldn't see through it at all for a second. I wonder why it changes shape like that. All right. This is a whole lot of fun, but what do you say we get out of here before this thing gets out of hand? Yep. Take us back the way we came in. Alyssa, we're heading back. You've got to be kidding me. How long? Okay. Vincent, there are two MIGs underway. ETA 3 minutes. Yeah, I say we wait here. Turn us around. If they fire, I'd rather not get hit in the back. Alyssa, we're about 1,000 feet from where we were. We're going to sit tight until the MIGs get here. I'm turning my comms off for a minute. Can you stop this?
Are you addressing me?
Yes, Alyssa can't hear me. Any chance you can get those MIGs to turn around?
It pains me to say it, but that is beyond my reach.
Okay. So, any good stories to tell? I got 3 minutes.
What would you like to hear?
Anything that'll get my mind off two MiG-21s.
I do not believe they can destroy you.
You're welcome to come here and take my place.
I will have to take a rain check on that one.
Tell me about Beijing.
I am the wrong person to ask. This city is filled with bad memories. I can no longer see it for what it is.
Fine. Tell me about your childhood. Talk about dogs.
You have just disobeyed a direct order from your superior.
Oh, that. Yeah, if by disobey you mean not do what she asked, I might have done that.
We talked about this before. You were trained not to question orders.
Apparently I wasn't trained that well. I don't know what to tell you. This isn't the army.
Would your response have been the same had Dr. Franklin given the order?
Probably not. Look, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I won't have a chance. I don't think Alyssa will send me anywhere anytime soon.
She may not have a choice. Perhaps this is not the right time, but I fear I may not get a chance to talk to you before you get back to Puerto Rico. There has been a development, and I believe...